It always works that way.
Okay, today's daf is daf Vav. Chag Atzmaut Sameach. Okay, we ended yesterday at the bottom of Ham Bet. We were trying to prove, is it koner, is it not? Does the if you bring a korban la'achar mita, do the children become owners of the sacrifice or not? So we were having a back and forth, and then we said they were trying to use the tmurah case as proof that it must not be kone, because, right, sorry, it must be that it is kone. We use the tmurah case as proof, because what did we say? If somebody, heiniach behema, three lines from the bottom, l'shnei banav umet, kreva ve'emim rim. Right, they can sacrifice it after he leaves his korban to his sons, but there's no din of tmurah. And iamar bishlama kanyale hainu de'emim rimba. If you say it was kone, that's why there's no tmurah. Why? Because tmurah is only, right, tmurah can't work with shutafin. Right, tahavile shutafin, v'shutfin lo matu mimirim. And therefore, it must be that the reason why they can sacrifice it, and yet there's no din of tmurah, must be because they're joint owners. If they're joint owners, what does that mean? That when it goes lacharmita, it's actually kone. Ela yamra lo kanya lehu, but if it's not kanoi to them, amurei nami limru, they should also be able to, right, the din of tmura should be relevant to them. So then the Gemara answered, this has nothing to do with are they kone or are they not. The reason why tmura isn't relevant to them is not because they were kone, which is what we were trying to say, but it's because there's a special drasha. Okay, the answer is shaneha tam tamakra im hamer yamir, which is lerabot et hayoresh. Right, they say Hamer Yamir, the double Lashon, comes to include the Yoresh. And then the Gemara says, if it comes to include the Yoresh and it's all in singular Lashon, it must mean Echa Mimir Ve'en Shnayim Mimirim. And the Drasha basically, you know, which I want to point out, I didn't say this because we were at the end of class yesterday, but when they do this Drasha, Im Hamer Yamir, Lirabot Et HaYoresh, that's the end of the Drasha. But the assumption from this Drasha is only to include a singular Yoresh and not two Yorshim. Which means if two Yorshim inherit a korban, there's no din of tmura by it. And that's from the drasha. That has nothing to do with whether they're kone or not. It's not because they're shutafin, and shutafin, there's no tmura by it. It's because of this. So the first question we're going to have on this is we're going to take a similar drasha where it has a double lashon, and it says that comes to include the yoresh, and we don't say there that it's only if it's done by one person and not by two people. Okay, that's going to be the gist of it. Okay, I just want to remind you of the halachot. In general, with tmura, if two people do a tmura, right, two people jointly own something and they take a different korban in its place, right, what does it mean tmura? They take an animal and then they say, oh no, I don't want that animal, I want a different animal. We say, first of all, it works. You can put it on the other animal, but you're not allowed to do it, and both animals have to be sacrificed, right? You can't actually transfer the kedusha, even though It works in the sense that both become kodesh. This is a din only for something owned by one person, not by two. Okay? And then when we learn the din by the yoresh, we say, well, again, it's echa mimir ve'en shnayim mimirim. So matkifla Rav Yaakov min ahar pekod, he says, wait a minute, elamayata, if you're going to say that, gabe maaser, dechtiv ve'im ga'ol yig'al, lirabot et hayoresh, hachanami, echa goel ve'en shnayim goalim. Are you going to say this halacha also only applies in singular and not to two people who jointly own something? So what would be the case? What's the case in general? We're talking about Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, you take your fruits, you're supposed to bring them to Yerushalayim to eat them, but what happens? You don't want to schlep them, so you transfer them onto a coin, and when you do the pidyon, what do you have to do? Let's say I have 100 shekels worth of fruits, I have to add a chomesh, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is really like, right, I think it's one... You would, I always forget, it's confusing. It's really a chomesh that's a quarter. It becomes 125, right? Because then it's 1/5, right? I think it's 125. So you would add a chomesh, basically. And then, so you have to add the chomesh. So now, Ga'ol Yigal comes to say, L'rabot d'tayoresh, if you inherit Maaser Sheni, you also have to add the chomesh. Now here we're going to say, Echa Goel v'en Shnayim Goalim, just like we did with the Mimir. So if two sons inherit Maaser Sheni, and they do Pidyon, they don't have to add the chomesh. Of course, that's not true. Okay, so they say, based on your drasha, Hamer Yamir L'Rabot Tayoresh, and you're jumping to the conclusion that it means one is Yoresh and not two, and that's the whole reason why two sons inherit a korban, there's no din of tamura. But it wouldn't work when it comes to maser sheni. So what does the Gemara very simply answer? Shane maser digabe avuho nami ite b'shutfut. And if the father owned property, or anybody for all intents and purposes, it doesn't really matter, the father, but what they're saying is the ikar din of maser sheni applies even to shutafin, whereas the ikar din of tamura doesn't apply to shutafin. So therefore, when it comes to the drasha and the tamura, we're going to say echad and not shnayim. When it comes to the din of maser sheni, we're not going to say that, because any maser sheni, if I jointly own maser sheni with you and we do pidyon, of course we have to add the chomesh. It's not a din that's unique to a singular person, whereas tamura is a din that's unique to a single owner. Okay? And therefore, it's not unreasonable to make that drasha. Okay, so remember, we were trying to say, okay, we assumed before that the children are not koneh, the korban, and then they said, well, if you say they're not koneh, what about this din of tamura? Why is tamura not relevant? Wouldn't that prove that you're koneh? And then we said, no, because it's a unique din because of this drasha. So now the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Asi le Rav Ashi, umina. Why don't we learn it from the drasha itself? When it says, im hamir yamir le rabot atayoresh, so why don't we learn from there that it's koneh? Because I amart bishlama kanya lehu, hainu decha mia memir. If you have this drasha that says, im hamir yamir comes to include a yoresh, well, if a yoresh can do tamura, you can only do tamura if you're the owner of the sacrifice. So forget about the fact that we rejected based on this drasha. We say, oh, it's based on a drasha. But the drasha itself teaches you that the yoresh, that he inherits it, actually, that he becomes the owner of it. Because if he's not the owner, how could he be memir? Ela iamar lo kanya, but if you say he's not kona, hechi memir. How could he possibly have a din of tamura if he's not the owner of the korban? How do we know that this is the case? Vahama rabbi avau, am rabbi yachanan, Hamagdish mosif chomesh, umitkaper oset tamura. So here's the din that Rabbi Yochanan brings in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say I designate a korban for somebody else. And then I want to do pidyon on that korban. Okay, so I'm mafrish an animal for you, okay, to do a sacrifice. So now the din is that, again, this halacha of pidyon only falls on a particular person. There's two people here. There's the person who's makdish, who designated the animal. And then there's the person who is getting kapara from the korban. So the din is that the makdish is the one who adds the chomesh, if he's to redeem the animal. And the mitkaper is the one who, if he designates a different animal in its stead, he's chayav on the tamura. Okay? So now what do you see here? That it's the person who gets the kapara, that he's considered the ba'alim for the purposes of tamura. So what do you learn from here? That the yoresh, in order to be memir, you have to be the owner of it. You have to be considered the owner for the purposes of tamura. So therefore, we see here that there's your proof that he must be kone in order to do tamura. Okay, and here's another case like this. Hatore mishelo al shel chavero. Okay, if someone gives... Let's say I say, I'm going to give from my fruits, the trumot, for your stuff. Okay, I take, you have lemons, I have lemons. I say, I'm going to take from my lemons and use that for your truma. So I, the tovat hana'ah is mine, which means that I can decide who I give the truma to. Okay, that I'm considered the owners for that purpose. This is just a different thing about Truma Namastro, that I can be the one, even though it was for your stuff, since I took for the Truma from my property, I can decide who the coin goes, which coin I give it to. So what do you see from here, really, with the Tamura? You see that who's considered, what do we see here? Who's the one who the halachot of Tamura apply to? The mitkaper. So what do we learn from here? That the child is mitkaper by his father's korban, which means it must have been kanoi to him if he gets kapara, okay? Because if only the mitkaper can do tamura, then, and the child can get tamura, then the child must be mitkaper. If he's mitkaper, he must have ownership over it, okay? And then it goes back to our basic question, which is, if we're going to, right, if the child, la'achar mita, gets kapara, right, then it goes back to our basic question about our case, which is that when we bring this korban, when, right, going back to our original case, it was done shelo lishma, right, which is compared to la'achar mita, then in theory, you should be getting some kapara for it. So what is the Gemara answer here? No, in this case, mikiva lo machapra, mikupya machapra. He gets like a low-level kapara. It's not the real kapara. The child doesn't get the kapara that the father would have gotten had he brought the korban. He gets kiva is keva, and kupya is like the opposite of keva. It's like a temporary, like a sug bet. You know, it's not the real kapara that he gets. Okay? And that's how they answer it. In other words, he's enough of a mitkaper to have the deen of tmura apply to him, but he doesn't really acquire the korban, and he's not really the owner, and he doesn't really get the full kapara. Okay? And then that would compare back to our case about the lishma, that the sacrifice is brought, even though he doesn't really get kapara for it. Okay. Ibai lehu. Now they ask another question. Kipru amashabau, olo kipru. Okay, this is, again, very similar to the question we asked before, which is it mechaper on what was done, or is it not mechaper on what was done? In other words, when we bring this korban, So we bring, let's say, a korban asham, and then the kohen thinks, oh, wait, I think it's an ola, right? In other words, he did it, again, intentionally as an ola, and then it turned, but it was really an asham. So we continue to bring it as a korban asham. So is it mechaper on the chataim? When you bring that, that's, what do we say? You have to bring another one instead, but you still have to bring that one. So when you bring it, is there some form of kapara? Okay, which is similar, right? It's like what Rish Lakish said, which is, you may know with kapar, so then what are you bringing it for, right? Now, it's either it's going to work or it's not going to work. So Amar of Shisha Bereder of Idi, Mistabra de lo kipru. It makes sense that it's not atoning, right? Which makes sense. Tisaka datach kipru, sheni lama huba. Because if you think it's going to affect atonement, well, then you don't need to bring a second one in its stead. So then they ask, Ve'elamai lo kipru, lama hu karev. Elamai lo kipru. In other words, what are you trying to say? That lo kipru? It's, again, now we're throwing the question on the other end. So according to what you're saying, you don't get kapara. And if you don't get kapara, right, then the question is going to be, well, then lama hu karev? There's got to be some in-between answer. He's basically saying, you don't get kapara for it. Well, then if you don't get kapara, we're back to the original question, which is, well, then why are you bringing it? If the first korban asham that got messed up continues to be sacrificed, so then why are you bringing it? If it doesn't do anything, so what's the point? So now he's going to say, Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Shisha, Bered Rav Idi Hachi Kakashile. This is what he was questioning. Iamar bishlama lo kipru, shelo lishmo mikoch lishmo kaate. This is what he meant to say, really. If you're going to say lo kipru, then shelo lishmo mikoch lishmo kaate, that the reason why you're bringing the first one is because originally you designated it lishma for the asham, and therefore it has to be brought mikoch harishon, but then sheni lama huba lama huba, right? So then why is the second one coming? Lechaper. But ela iamar kipru, but if you really get kapara, then lama huba, then why is it coming? Okay, so basically we're going to say, what he's basically saying is, if you say that the first one was not mitkaper, and it's only coming because you originally brought the first one, the shema, and therefore it has to be brought through, then we understand why you bring a second one. But if you don't think that that's the case, then there's absolutely no purpose for the second one. In other words, I think it's kind of viewed as a rhetorical question. And he's basically saying you'd have to view it that way, because if you view it that you get kapara from the first one, then there's no way to understand why you would possibly have to bring a second one. Okay? So, okay, another question. Ibai lehu. A'asei d'la'achar hafrasha mechapra o lo mechapra. If you bring a korban, you bring a korban ola, let's say, right? We talked about a korban ola. Now we're off on a tangent. We talked about the korban ola before. It's mechaper on bitul ase, right? When, let's say, the yoledet we had, she brings a korban ola that she's chayevet because of the yoledet. But while she brings that sacrifice, what did we say? It works to atone for all sorts of mitzvot ase that she didn't fulfill, or alav anitak lase. So now the question is, she designate, there's different stages of sacrificing. There's the stage where you designate the animal, and then there's the stage where you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash and it gets sacrificed. So once you sacrifice the animal, clearly it's not going to cover anything that happens after that stage, okay? But what about the stage between the time you designated the animal until the time that you slaughtered it? Let's say you didn't do a mitzvah aseh in that time period. So would your korban work? Okay, do we say it's the moment that you separate the animal, you designate and say, this is going for my korban olah, then it's going to cover everything before but nothing after? Or do we say it's the moment that you shecht it that's going to be the critical moment, and hafresha, you could still be mafresh it, and then maybe be mevatel aseh, and it will cover those also. So that's the question. Aseh del achar hafresha mechapra, is it mechaper on mitzvot aseh that you do after your mafresh the korban? Olo mechapra. Mi amrinan, do we say, midi dehave achatat, it's like a korban chatat. Ma chatat dekodem afresha in, del achar afresha lo. With a chatat, if you remember, a chatat is brought on every specific, you bring a separate unique chatat on everything. Okay, so therefore you designate a chatat. As soon as you designate this animal for a chatat, remember we said, if you designate the animal and then you don't use it, right, the chatat meta, right, let's say the balim die, it's dead. That is 100% designated for that specific sin. So with a chatat, it wouldn't work. Once you're mafresh, that's it. Okay, it's designated. And for that specific, and it can't come for anything else. Ma chatat dekodem afresha in delachar afresha lo. Do we say it's like the chatat? It's only going to take care of what the moment of afresha is critical. Maybe you would say, no, it's different from a chatat. Why? A korban chatat, you have to bring a unique one. Let's say you messed up on two different aveirot. You would designate a unique chatat for each one, whereas this ola, we already said, is all-encompassing. It can encompass more than one thing, so maybe the ola is not like the chatat, and it wouldn't make a difference whether you were mafresh it and then did forgot to do some mitzvot aseh. It would all be incorporated because the afrasha, right, we're not going to compare it to the chatat because it's different in that it can incorporate a whole bunch of things into one korban, whereas the chatat is each for, you know, you bring a separate chatat for each individual sin. Ambahacha kevan, and in this case kevan deika kama ase gabe mechapra ase to achar mechapra ase. In other words, since you could take many mitzvot ase and it can be mechaper on all those to achar fresha nami mechapra. Sorry, ase to achar fresha nami mechapra. You could say that it's also mechaper on ases after hafresha. Okay, so that's the question: do we compare it to the chatat or do we not compare it to the chatat? Do we say the moment of hafresha means that's it? Anything you do after that will not be included or not. So we're going to try to learn this from other cases. Tashma, let's learn from here, the first attempt. V'samach v'nirtza, okay, this is the ola, v'samach et yedo al rosh ha'ola, and the rest of the pasuk is v'nirtza lo lechaper alav. Now there's something weird about this. When do you do smicha? Well, the animal's still alive before the shechting, right? So it says here, v'samach v'nirtza. And then you get this ritzui. Now, what did we say about ritzui? What's ritzui, right? That God accepts your, that you get kapara. When does that happen? When you do smicha? No, it happens much later. It happens at the zrika. Remember, you do smicha. Then you have shchita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. And the zrika is what you get the ritzui for, the blood. So, why does it say v'samach v'nirtza? V'chi smicha mechaperet? V'alo, ein kapara, ela b'dam, sh'ne'amar. You know, this week's parsha, at least if you're in Israel, ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. Okay, the dam is what's mechaper. Okay, they learn it out from that pasuk about the east. This is about the isur to eat dam, but they learn out from that pasuk that the dam hu benefesh yechaper, that the dam is what affects atonement when you bring the sacrifice, and therefore it's not the smicha. So why does it say v'samach v'nirtza? Ela matamud lamar v'samach v'nirtza lechaper. She'im asa'a l'smicha shairei mitzvah. Okay, now shairei mitzvah means two things. Shairei mitzvah usually means the things that are not the ikar part of the mitzvah, meaning they're not ma'akev, okay? They're things that are extras, okay? Like smicha, it's not the ikar part, okay? But here they're using a play on words. If you make smicha shairei mitzvah, meaning you say, oh, it's not an ikar part, it's not an essential part of the sacrifice, and therefore you don't do it, okay? And that is the reason why it says in the pasuk, v'samach v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav, is to tell you that if you do smicha shairei mitzvah and you don't do it, Male alava katuv ki'ilu lo chiper v'chiper. Now this is going to be a very strange lashon that we're going to try to have to figure out, and then we're going to compare it to where it appears in another place also. So right now they're going to say, if you don't do smicha, the pasuk is trying to tell you it's as if you didn't get kapara, but in fact you do get kapara. Okay? So now what exactly does this mean? My love, now they're going to assume it means like this. Dikiper ase kodem dikiper ase kodem hafrasha lo kiper ase sorry, how did I read this? My love dikiper ase de kodem hafrasha lo kipera ase desmicha dehavile ase de lachar hafrasha. Okay, this is what it's going to say. That when you now slaughter this korban, what's it going to do? It's going to be mechaper on all your mitzvot aseh from before hafrasha. But it's not going to be mechaper on the fact that you didn't do smicha. Why is that? Because smicha is after hafrasha. It's right. Okay, let's just go through the order. You designate the animal. That has to happen, obviously, before smicha. Because smicha is you put pressure on the animal. So what's the point? The point is when it says, what does it mean? We're going to assume there's some sort of kapara that you do get, and there's some sort of kapara that you don't get. Since you didn't do smicha, what's going to happen? You're going to get kapara on all your mitzvot I say that you didn't do beforehand. Before what moment then? It must be before hafrasha, because the smicha is after the hafrasha, before the shchita, right? Because our whole question is it the moment of shchita, or is it the moment of hafrasha? So this must be telling you that if you do it a Shirei Mitzvah and you don't do it, you're not going to get kapara for not doing it from this sacrifice. And why is that? Because it was done after Hafrasha, which would then teach us that anything you do, right, it only takes care of your mitzvah ase before Hafrasha. Okay? So, that's the first reading. So now they're going to say, Amar Rava, Asei de smicha kamart. You're trying to use the mitzvah ase of smicha to teach us about this Korban Ola in general. Shane hatam de kol kama de lo shachit ba'amod usmoch kai. Emat kahave ase de achar shchita. Sorry, one second. Emakave ase la achar shchita. La achar shchita lo kama bailan. Okay. He says something very smart, Rebbe says. He says, the ase of smicha you bring is approved, but shane hatam, that's different. Why? When are you mevatel the mitzvah ase of smicha? At the last possible moment. When's that? When you slaughter it. So therefore, right, so here, let's read it. Shana adam de kol kama de lo shachit, kol od you don't slaughter it, it's be'amodu smochkai. You can always still keep doing it. So you're only mevatel emat kahave ase, when you're mevatel the ase, la'achar shchita. Only after you slaughter it can you no longer do smicha. At that point, you're mevatel the ase, but at that point, it's already been slaughtered. So basically, this isn't a good example of something that happened between Hafrasha and Shchita, because even though that was the moment you were supposed to do it, you're only considered not having done it once it's already the Shchita is done. So that's not a good example. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda L'Rava. Ema kiper gavra lo kiper kamesh shmaya. Now he's going to say, maybe you misunderstood this terminology of kiper and lo kiper. Until now, what did we say kiper and lo kiper means? Right? Kiper means he gets atonement for all the ases from before Hafrasha. Lo kiper, he doesn't get atonement for the smicha, right? In other words, which was after. In the end, they reject it, but he's saying that the shut that door, if you don't mind. The lo kiper and kiper, maybe you misunderstood them. Maybe lo kiper and kiper means kiper gavra. If you don't do smicha, you still get your atonement for your korban, because that comes with the zrikatam. But lo kiper kame shmaya. Okay, Rashi says here, lenacha ruach lekono, delo aved mitzvah min amuvchar. Now that God is not pleased with you. Yes, you technically got kapara, but since you didn't do the entire process, God is not fully pleased with you. Okay? Maybe that's what it means. It means, okay, I don't know how you understood it when you first read it, but listen to the wording. It matches a little better. Ma'ale alava katuv ki'ilu lo kiper v'kiper. The pasuk's telling you it's almost as if you didn't get kapara, but you actually did. Okay, which means maybe you got some sort of pseudo kapara. You got the technical kapara, but God is still not 100% pleased with you because you didn't do it properly.
But there's no...
Right, you don't make up for it in any way. Okay, you're not perfect, okay?
Maybe the next time you bring a korban.
Right. The question is, how would you atone for this exactly, right? It's a little tricky. In other words, it's a little tricky because the whole ritzoy is ritzoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can you say he gives you the kapara but doesn't really give you the kapara, right? You're sort of at this in-between stage. Milotnan doesn't it say this? And now we're going to say this terminology is used elsewhere, and isn't that what it means there? Okay? Now that is going to be his proof that this is what it means. Milo Tnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? Vahanotar, actually, is it right? In Negaim. Vahanotar Bashemen Asher al Kaf. Okay, this is the process that they go through with the Mitzorah. If you remember what happens with the Mitzorah, they take oil, he takes a log of oil, and then he puts on the Bohen Yadoa Yema, they take the Mitzorah and they put it on his finger and they put it on his toe. And then whatever's left on the Kohen's head, he rubs, on the Kohen's hand, he rubs. Okay, this is the Pasuk. Hanotar Bashemen Asher al Kaf HaKohen. Yitain alosh hamitaher. Okay, whatever's left after he puts it on the finger and he puts it on the toe of the mitzorah, whatever's left, he puts on the rosh hamitaher, he puts on the head of the mitzorah. V'chiper alav hakohen lefnei Hashem. Okay? So, what do they darshan from this pasuk? Right? So it sounds like he puts on the rosh hamitaher and then he's kiper. That act is kiper. So what did they say? Im natan, the Mishnah says, kiper. Im lo natan, lo kiper, to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, his view is not going to be important to us. He says, if he does this, the mitzvah is mitkaper. If he doesn't do this part of the process, then you have to start all over. Okay? The whole thing is no good. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, shairei mitzvahin. Okay, here we're using shairei mitzvah the same way we did before, but except that it's not the, right? We're basically saying this is not an essential part of the mitzvah. Bein nitan, bein lo nitan kiper. Okay, he receives kapara whether he did it or whether he didn't. Umalim alav ki'ilu lo kiper. However, we treat him as if he didn't get atonement. So now, again, we're going to say, my ki'ilu lo kiper. Ilema dimibaili tuye korban achrina. If it means you have to do the whole process from the beginning, you have to start with all the korbanot again. Hamart bein nitan bein lo nitan kiper. You already said he got atonement. So obviously you don't have to bring a new korban. Ela kiper gavra lo kiper kameshmaya. Ela, it must mean that he did technically get atonement, but God is not fully pleased with him. Okay? So that's the way, by the way, this is very similar to the struggle we had before, which is the Kohen messes up and yet the mitkaper is in trouble, right? In other words, here, the Kohen didn't put it on his head. We don't know why the Kohen didn't put it on his head, but the Kohen's, so to speak, mess up affects the person himself, right? Just like if the Kohen does a shalol lishma, the person himself is responsible. So anyway, what do we say here? So gavra lo kiper kamishaya. So therefore, hachanami kiper v'chule. Okay, it must be the same by us. Okay, so that's what they're going to say. That's what they're assuming right now. That you misunderstood when you said kiper lo kiper. It's not what you thought originally. It's kiper, right? You get a pseudo kapara, not full. So they say no. You don't have to necessarily assume that that's what the Mishnah means. And that was his proof text for that's what it means, because that must be the only way to understand it. It can't be that he has to bring all the korbanot again. Clearly, that's not the case. So what do they say now? No, you misunderstood. Hatam nami kiper matam behonot, lo kiper matnot harosh. What it means by the mitzorah is, you've done all the process. You don't have to redo the process. You don't have to bring the korbanot again. You don't have to put the oil on the bohen and on your toe and on your finger. No. But what you have to do is you have to redo, the Kohen has to take oil again and put it on your head. In other words, you haven't taken care of the Rosh, that has to be redone. So that's what it means, kiper below kiper. You did part of it, you just didn't do the whole thing. Well, the part that you didn't do, you have to redo. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who says you have to redo, right? You have to go back, right? It didn't work at all. You have to start the process over. Okay, so that's the difference in halacha between them. And that has nothing to do with kiper and lo kiper, right? You can't say then kiper is the gavra and lo kiper is klape shmaya. So we've rejected that proof. Tashma. Okay, so now we basically want to bring, okay, this was a whole, one second. Right, we're trying to figure out, does it work? We're back to our original question. When you do an ola, and then you've rebatal and ase after you're already mafresh the korban, is it going to count for your early ones or not? Okay, so we tried to bring a proof from this case in the smicha, and then we said, no, that's not a relevant one because that was already after shchita that you're mebatal the ase. So of course that's not included. So now we're going to bring a different proof. Tashma. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivsei Atzeret Lamahim Ba'in. What atonement are we getting for the kvasim that you bring with the korban on Shavuot? With the korban Shtei Alechem, you bring kvasim. What are they coming to atone for? So the Gemara says, Kivsei Atzeret. What kind of a question is this? Shlamim Ninhu. And as Rabbi Shimon says, Kivsei Atzeret Lamahim Ba'in, but Kivsei Atzeret are not for a chatat, they're for their korbanot Shlamim. And therefore, the question can't possibly be on the Kivsei Atzeret. Ela Si'irei Atzeret Lamahim Ba'in. Okay, it's not that Rabbi Shimon made the mistake, it's that our girsa of the source about Rabbi Shimon was mistaken. What they mean is the Si'irei Chatat that you bring on Shavuot, what are they for? Now, you bring two Si'irei Chatat. One goes with the Korban Shtei Alechem, the unique Korban that you bring on Shavuot, with all the stuff that you bring, there's a Si'iras Yizim Echad L'Chatat. Additionally, in Musaf, we bring in the Korban Musaf, and we learned this in Shavuot, we're going to repeat this now. If you remember all the Si'irim, what do they bring them for? And then we said, right, the Si'irei Regalim, what are they brought for? And we said they're brought for Tum'at Mikdash V'Kodashav, remember? And then there were all different levels of Tum'at Mikdash V'Kodashav. There's where you knew, you didn't know in the beginning, you did know later, right? So we'll see which one they bring up now. So Rabbi Shimon says, so the Si'irei Atzeret Lamahim Ba'in, Al Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav. Okay, and it's a case where you didn't know before and you didn't even know after, right? We bring these Sirim on all the Regalim to atone for all sorts of people who come into the Mikdash and never realize that they were Tamei and never, right, didn't realize it at the time and don't even realize it eventually, right? Or they go to the, right, depending on all the permutations, but that's the case of the Sirei Atzeret. Okay, so they're coming for Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav. Now, there's two, though. Okay, there's one you bring as part of the Korban Shtei Alechem, and there's one that you bring as part of the regular Korban Musaf. Now, obviously, the question is going to be, if it's mitaher on Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav, so why do you need two? Okay, Nizrak Damo Shel Rishon, once you're Zorek, the Dam of the first one, and then you've been Mechaper on all the people who, right, all the Tzibor who's done Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav, Sheni Lama Karev. So what do you need to bring the second one for? What's the point? You've already taken care of that. So what must it be for? Al Tum'a Shu'ura Ben Zeh L'Zeh. Okay, it must be for any Tum'a that happened between the first one, between the time the Dam was sprinkled for the first one until the second one. Emor Me'ata. Ruyin hayu Yisrael lahakriv korbonotehem b'kol eit v'chol sha'ah, ela shechiseh hakatuv. Okay, we learn from here that, they're supposed to, right, in other words, what does this basically mean? That every second someone could be sinning. So why do we bring two? Because something might have happened in between the first one and the second one. What do you learn from here? This could go on till infinity. That you can basically, okay, I brought that one. Well, I better bring the next one. So ru'uyin hayu, the chase should be constantly bringing korbanot to be taken care of the Tumat Mikdash V'Kodashav, let's say, for all intents and purposes, and if not for anything else. But chisei chaketuv, in other words, God have rachmanut, that, you know, we can't afford to bring sacrifices all the time for these kind of things. So, you know, they said two. Okay? So one is for the first, and the second is to atone for anything in between. So now, what is this going to prove about our case? What do you see here? It must be, right? Generally, we don't really know the reality. I told you, they don't tell us the reality, but here you can kind of assume what the reality is, which is, ha-ha-cha da'aseh de'lachar ha-frasha, v'cha-mechapra. In other words, what's the assumption? If you're bringing two si-reizim l'chatat, and plus you have all sorts of other sacrifices, the assumption is they must have designated all the animals me-rosh, right? And then they get to the Mikdash, they deal with the first one, they slaughter it, and they, you know, the truth is they also had animals in the Mikdash already, right? Kind of in waiting, but that they must have designated them all and then started slaughtering. So Nizrak Damo Shel Rishon, and then the second one, right? What's it coming for? That was the whole question. So the point is, they must have both been designated Meirosh, which means that what? What do you see here? After Hafrasha, before Shechita, it can atone for new things. So there's your proof. Okay, so now they say, "Ida afreshinu bevat achat hachinami." The truth is, if they were both mufrash at the same moment, then it wouldn't actually atone. Hacha b'mayas kina. What's the case here? To afreshinu bezeh cherze. It's only if they were mafresh the first one slaughtered it, and then after they go and designate the second animal. So this is why I said we sort of get the reality, we don't get the reality, right? They're kind of saying, well, it would only be if the reality was done in this way. So now the Gemara is going to question, are you going to say that the Torah is telling us to do something that will only be relevant if they didn't designate them both at the same time? Which kind of you can infer from here that they must designate all their animals, Meiros, because they're assuming it's a very rare case where you wouldn't have designated both of them. And the Torah wouldn't be coming to teach about some unique, you know, that if you didn't designate, and the Torah would have specified them or something, right? It seems weird. So therefore, they don't think that that's the case. Okay? So they're back with, here you have it, after Hafrashah, it will atone. But now Rav Papa's going to come up with a different reason why we can't learn from here. Amar Rav Papa, korbanot zibor kamarta, shani korbanot zibor, delev beitin kamatna lehem. Kidder Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and we'll get to that in a minute. Wait a minute, he says. You're comparing a korban ola for an individual. Does it work after Hafrashah if they do more averot to be mechaper? Two, korbanot zibor. The korbanot zibor, there's this concept that lev beitim matne alehem. When I'm an individual and I designate a korban, I say this animal, I designate an animal to be sacrificed, that animal designated to me. No tznaim, no conditions, right? If I'm going to designate the animal, I'm designating it. It's done. I can't do it al tnai. But when the beitim does it, they can do it al tnai. And anytime the beitim's mafresh a korban, it's kind of like al tnai, meaning that it's not fully designated the way an individual designates it. And how do we know this? Because if I would designate an animal for a chatat, let's say, for all intents and purposes, or for an asham, okay, either way, right, you know, the halacha is going to be a little different. But once I designate that animal, we learned already, if it's a chatat, if let's say I die, if it's a chatat, you know, it has to go die, and you can't do anything with it. If it's an asham, you can wait till it gets a mum, and then you can redeem it, right? Or, you know, my yorshin, let's say. But we're going to see with the tzibor, they have a lot more flexibility. And that's because of this concept, beitim matne alehem. When we do something for the community, there's almost like a condition implicit inside that it's not fully designated, and therefore we're going to see that you can do all sorts of things with them, okay? So, to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, korbanot tzibor, sakin moshachtan lemashehen. Okay, there's a lot of problems with the nuschaot, there's a lot of problems with how to explain this. I'm going to go with the basic opinion, but there's some problems within it, but we'll kind of stick to one interpretation. What does it mean, sakin moshachtan lemashehen? When do we use sakin? In shchita. The shchita is when it determines what it is, which means if I'm an individual, when I separate the korban, it's already got this name chatat on it, or asham, or whatever it might be. But if I'm the beitin, or the tzibor, so then it's the sakin that determines it. In other words, it's not fully designated till you slaughter it. Okay? And that's why we're going to go by this korban, the se'irizim l'chatat that they bring, even though it was designated merosh, right? The second one, it can still atone for sins until the time of shechita, because until it's slaughtered, it's not actually considered a korban, this chatat. Okay? It only gets its name later. So, Amale Rav Yosef, Rav Derav, Derav Shmuel, Derav Papa, first of all, let me explain Lev Beitim Matne Alehem before we get there. Where do we know that, where does Shmuel say this, Lev Beitim, the Sakim Moshachtan Lemashahem, which is connected to Lev Beitim Matne Alehem? The issue is, if you remember in Masechet Shkalim, we learned that the Trumat Alishka, they would collect the money for each year. Now, money that was designated for, that was collected in 1 year can't be used for the following year for the Korbanot Tzibor. So let's say I have a korban tamid. Let's say there's money left over at the end of the year. Okay, and as they buy the korbanot tamid, but they're left with some money. So what do they do with them? Okay, we use it to buy korbanot. It's like we saw the other day, leketz hamizbech. You can buy from it korbanot nedava, korbanot ola, leketz hamizbech, and you just use it to buy animals that you need, you know, to fill the time in the mizbech. But you can't use them to buy korbanot tamid for the following year. What if you designate animals for the korban tzibor, korbanot tzibor, and then you're left over at the end of the year with a bunch of them that weren't used? Okay, you didn't count properly, whatever it is. So that's what we say, le beti matne alehen, and until they actually get slaughtered, they're not actually, right? In other words, normally if you designate something for korban tamid, so you won't be able to use it. But in this case, what do we say? You're allowed to use it, leketz hamizbech, okay? You can sacrifice them for other korbanot, just like the money can be used for Kesem Mizbeach. Also, all those animals you designate, you can't use for Korban Tamid for next year, because next year's have to be bought with next year's money. They can't be bought with this year's money, but you can just use it to sacrifice Korbanot Olah. So now they say, so that's what we're assuming. We're explaining, now you have to go back, we're explaining what Rabbi Shimon says, the Kifsei, I'm sorry, the Seirei Atzeret Lemahim Ba'in, they're coming to atone, right, because we can they're not fully designated till they're shefted, okay? But they're going to say that that doesn't match Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon actually, Mi ilay le Rabbi Shimon, Leib Beitim Manalehem, does Rabbi Shimon really hold Leib Beitim Manalehem? V'hamar Avidi Bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tmidin Shelo Tzruchu Litzibur. Okay, there's another option of what you could do with them. Now, it's a little strange. This is part of the problem in the Nusa. If you can use them L'Ketzem Mizbeach, then this other option seems like a strange option. Why would you do that? But another option is you can be Podeh, the animals, even when they're Tmimim. You don't need to wait till they get a Mum. Now, it seems strange. Why would you do that if you could do it L'Ketzem Mizbeach, right? It's obviously easier to just sacrifice them themselves than to do what? Than to be Podeh, take the money, buy a new animal, and sacrifice them L'Ketzem Mizbeach. It's one of the problems with this Gemara. But okay, we'll leave that question aside. Anyway, they say, Rabbi Yochanan, okay, this is interesting. We're getting a machloket tana'im that we actually don't know exists otherwise, but we know it exists because Rabbi Idi Bar Avin said in the name of Rabbi Amram, who said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a machloket tana'im about this, right? Normally we quote machlokot amoraim, tana'im, we quote it. Oh, it says in this source. In this case, we just have it that he passed down the name of blah, 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 okay, that there's this source. And there Rabbi Shimon would contradict what he says here, which is the way we explain Rabbi Shimon. T'midin shelo tzurchu litzibur, right? T'midim that we no longer need for this year. L'divrei Rabbi Shimon ein niftim t'mimim. He says you can't be podeh otam t'mimim. Meaning, we can't say leiv beitim manalehem. Okay? And l'divrei chachamim niftim t'mimim. Okay? So basically, we took Rabbi Shimon who said, Sirei Atzeret L'mayim Ba'in, L'tahera al Tumat Mikdash B'Kodashav. And then we said, you can't learn from there because that's Tzibur. And Tzibur leiv beitim manalehem. But now they say, but that's a problem, because if you're explaining Rabbi Shimon based on this Leiv Beitim Anelim, and it's only because it's a Tzibur, Rabbi Shimon himself doesn't hold Leiv Beitim Anelim. He actually thinks you can't be Podeh Otam Tmimim. And therefore, we'd have a problem with that interpretation.